Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This is the day the Lord has made. We have gathered to rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you.
And welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending, we're delighted you're with us. We want to meet you. Those of us who are here week in and week out, shake your hand, welcome you. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we're pleased that you're here and we'd love for you to make a home here at West End. One way to do that is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find a lot of those opportunities listed in your bulletin insert. I'm going to lift up a few things here. You can participate in our mission market during this month. Our 4th, 5th, and 6th graders during Mission Week explored creativity and imagination, and they created some things that they are now going to offer for a donation. Next Sunday, they're going to offer for a donation. And those include birdhouses and piggy banks, and they're asking for at least a $10 donation for those, and stepping stones that are, they ask for at least a $35 donation. The money raised will go to our Habitat for Humanity program and Tennessee Justice for Our Neighbors. Now, next Sunday, those will be available. So I know you'll want to be prepared to come and take advantage of their creativity and imagination. Speaking of which, this coming week, children entering grades 2 through 7 will be singing and acting and dancing and doing crafts as they prepare for this year's musical, Giddy Up, Get Along, Gideon. The story of Gideon. Sounds like it's going to be exciting. This will be performed next Sunday, July 27th at 9:50 in the 4th Story Theater. We would love for you to pray for those youngsters as they prepare this. Pray for those who are leading the process as they prepare this. And if you have the opportunity, come and see the production next Sunday between services. Our Connect and Share group invites all the women of the church and those who may just be visiting, if you want, to come and connect and share on July 22nd between 10 a.m. and noon at the Thistle Stop Cafe. If you need more information, please contact Nancy Hawthorne about that. Also, our regular Tizay service will be this afternoon at 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And if you have never been, it's a time when you can quieten those noisy lives that we all have. You can focus on God. You can focus on listening. Let me encourage you to come if you never have tried it. And if you have, you already know what you're in for. So that's 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And finally, our all-church lunch is next Sunday following this service. A number of people will be joining the church. You may want to come to the lunch to meet those folks. You may want to come to reconnect with some folks you haven't seen for a while. Either way, we would love it if you would make a reservation. We always try to have enough for everybody, whether there's a reservation or not, but it always helps to know who's coming. So if you know you're coming, please make a reservation by calling the church office this week. It's all around us, but we don't usually notice it. We breathe it in and out just like the oxygen our body needs. It's the love of God, ever present, all surrounding.
Oh, of the living Christ is with us.
Thanks be to God.
The God who knows us better than we know ourselves is among us this day.
Praise be to God.
As a community of faith, let us join our voices together in confession. All-knowing God, we confess that we have acted as though we do not need you. You say you will never forget us, and yet your presence slips our minds. You promise to always hear our prayers, and yet we tune you out. You never leave our side, and yet we struggle to make you a priority. We are not worthy of your attention, and yet we are worth more than anything else to you. Because we fail to live in constant awe and thankfulness for the mystery of your attentive love, we confess our sins and ask your forgiveness. By God's grace, we are always remembered, and by God's grace, we are always forgiven. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come down and join us here at the front, you're welcome to do so. I think probably you've heard me mention the fact that I have two daughters. Margaret and I have two daughters, and they're both grown now. They're in their 20s, but I can still remember the day that each one was born. I remember on the day that Sarah was born, she had a little bit of difficulty coming into the world, so they put this suction thing on her head so that when she came out, her head looked like a little cone head. And she had red speckles all over her, and I thought she was the most beautiful child ever to appear on the face of the earth. We look at her pictures now and we think, what was I thinking? I was in love. That's what happened. And we were so much in love with Sarah that we were a little concerned that if we had a second child, we might not love him as much. But then when Lizzie was born, she was very different from Sarah, looked different, but let me tell you, I was in love again. I loved Lizzie the same way I did Sarah. Should never have worried about that. You see, God loves each of us that way. Doesn't matter who we are. When we come into this world, we're already loved. Because God, we don't have to do a thing. God loves because God is love, not because of anything that we've done. And so, we had a baptism at the first service of a baby. And you may remember that when Jesus was baptized, there was a voice from heaven, God's voice saying, "You are my beloved child." I think God says that every time a child is baptized. When you were baptized, when we baptize a child up here, God is saying, "You are my beloved child." And it's not that you become God's beloved child when you're baptized. God's just announcing what you already were all along. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about how we know that we're loved and how we know that we are worthy, you know, how we feel self-worth, it's called, how we feel good about ourselves. And you know what? We don't have to do anything to feel good about ourselves because God has already loved us and already feels good about us. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for loving us so much, more than we can imagine. Thank you for helping us to do the things that you would like for us to do because we know that we are loved so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming down. Well, Jesus is getting ready to send his disciples out on a mission, and it doesn't sound very promising. Because a little earlier, he has told them, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves." Now, how do you think you would respond if I said, "Okay, we're going on a mission, but you're going to be the sheep, and I'm sending you out among wolves"? You'd be pretty excited about that, wouldn't you? Well, Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on to describe specifically the kinds of things that are going to happen. You're going to be dragged into court. That's right, religious courts and Roman courts, and you're going to have to testify. Don't worry about what you're going to say. You just tell the story of what God has done in your life. That's your witness. That's all you have to do. But believe me, they will drag you into court. You know, it's interesting. You may have heard about some of the church trials that have been going on in the United Methodist Church over the past few months, most of them about pastors who have presided at same-sex ceremonies, same-sex weddings, and have been charged with that and tried for that. And wherever you stand on that, it seems to me that in this passage and throughout the Gospels, while Jesus warns about what the Romans and those outside of the group of his followers might do to you, I don't think he could ever imagine that his followers would be putting others of his followers on trial, or anybody else for that matter. I think we got that somewhere else. I think maybe we've become the people Jesus warned us about. Anyway, he said it's not going to stop there. They're going to harass you. And that harassment is not going to stop. They're going to hound you. When they do, if they don't hear you, just leave. Just get out of there. Not sounding any more promising, is it? Not at all. And then he goes on to tell them, as we heard today, not to be afraid. Everything that they have heard in the dark, they're to speak in the light. Everything will be revealed. These people who are being awful to them, don't have to worry about them. You don't have to be afraid. It's amazing how Jesus tells these scary stories and then says, don't be afraid. Why should we not be afraid? I would be. But then he goes on to say, do not fear those who can just kill the body. Fear the one who, if he chose to, could send body and soul to hell. That's kind of scary about God, isn't it? Except for the very next thing Jesus says, which is, you know, these sparrows, I mean, you can get them for practically nothing. But to God, you are of more value than many, many sparrows. If God attends to the least sparrow, don't you think God will attend to you? The one who could burn body and soul in hell loves us more than many sparrows. Loves us more than we can imagine. So we don't have to be afraid of anything. It's interesting. I can't imagine how these followers of Jesus could have much self-worth left after they go through being charged in court, being dragged into court, being harassed, being criticized. And of course, the worst thing is, Jesus says, you know, a slave isn't above the master, a student isn't above the teacher. But if the teacher is called Beelzebul, the prince of demons, just think what they're going to call you. Demonization kind of flattens everything out, no matter who we demonize, right? And this is literal demonizing. How could they have any kind of self-worth left? Because they know that the one who has power over life and death, this life and the afterlife, loves them more than many, many sparrows. You know, in our culture, we measure self-worth in a lot of different ways. Some people will say, well, yeah, he was worth $20 billion. And we measure it by the accumulated money or the accumulated stuff that an individual has required. The only problem with this is that when you die, those billions don't do you much good. They may do other people good, but they're not going to do you much good. For others of us, we say, our worth is measured in the contributions we make to the community. And I think that's true. Last week we mentioned John Siegenthaler. His contributions include the First Amendment Center. There are many institutions in this town that are the legacy of individuals or families. It could be that you measure your worth by your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren. Or those you have mentored, whether you have children or not. Those whose lives you have touched and helped shape. It could be that you find your worth in the organs that, when they are no longer of use to you, can be used to save someone else's life. So you sign that organ donor card. Or perhaps you donate your body to Vanderbilt. Sometimes you hear about the worth of the human body if it's kind of boiled down to its basic elements, because we're mostly water, I think. We're not worth all that much. Probably the most devastating way that we measure our self-worth is by what other people think about us. And I have to say, this is a particular difficulty for preachers, because we as preachers are people who like to be liked and need to be needed for the most part. And that can be very dangerous because it can stand in the way of preaching the gospel because we're afraid somebody won't like us. I've got two examples of how people responded to public opinion. They are people who not only knew each other, but were friends, grew up together. They are people who were both major writers, and yet they responded to the adulation they received from the larger society in radically different ways. One of those is Harper Lee. I've already mentioned to you my admiration for Harper Lee. There's a new book out about her called The Mockingbird Next Door. I received it as a gift from my daughters, and I'm in the midst of reading it. And you may know that the character in To Kill a Mockingbird, Dill, is based upon the young Truman Capote. They were friends. Not only were they childhood friends, but when Capote went to Kansas to research In Cold Blood, Harper Lee went with him and helped research that murder and contributed in ways that we'll never know to the book that resulted from that. But the way they dealt with the public attention and how they allowed it to shape who they were was radically different. Capote loved to be associated with wealthy and powerful people, with celebrities, and he too became a celebrity. Now, you know, sometimes people become a celebrity because they're a celebrity. You know, they're well-known because they're well-known and for no other particular reason. This is not the case with Capote. He's a very fine writer. If you've ever read any of his early short stories, Children on Their Birthday, Girls in Their Summer Dresses, they're gems. Written in his early 20s. I'm jealous. In Cold Blood in itself is a remarkable book. Horrifying and remarkable in many ways. And yet, Capote's need to be a celebrity, to be associated with the wealthy and the powerful and the well-known, ultimately became his downfall. Because by the end of his life, he died addicted and alone, having been deserted by almost all of those famous people that he wanted to be associated with. His writing had gone downhill severely because it appeared that his whole sense of worth came from what other people thought of him. Harper Lee was just the opposite. She wrote To Kill a Mockingbird expecting to have a few tepid reviews and then it would pass out of sight. Well, you know as well as I know, that's not what happened. Not only was it a bestseller, it won the Pulitzer Prize. A movie was made from it. She was associated with famous people, Gregory Peck being one of those, of course. She had the attention of the world, and she backed away from it. Now, there are folks who would say that's because she was shy. Well, in what I've read, she doesn't seem particularly shy. She seems pretty forthright in her opinions. I'm going to speculate and say that I think Harper Lee pulled back, spending half of her time in Monroeville, Alabama, her hometown, and half in New York City, because she didn't want to lose touch with that community that had formed who she was, the community she fictionalized in her novel. She only wrote one. But when you write one like that, you don't need to write anymore. She surrounded herself with her sister, Alice, an attorney who practiced into her 90s, friends from Monroeville, friends from the literary community, but she was never willing to become the celebrity that she could have become. I think in part because she wanted to be the person she was and not have her worth defined by what other people thought. How do we define our worth? It's hard for us to believe in a society that rewards accomplishment, that encourages us to pay great attention to what other people think about us, It's hard for us to think that our worth is a given. It's already there. When we are born, God loves us more than many sparrows, more than anything we could imagine. The one who holds life and death, now and eternity, decided to love us before we ever even appeared. We are God's beloved children, and we don't have to do anything to earn that. We don't have to do anything to deserve that. We couldn't. It's a gift. It's God's grace. And so no matter how our society chooses to say we're worthy or not worthy, we know where our worth comes from. We know who has called us beloved. We know that our worth is not anything that we do. It's not how much people like us or need us. It's not our status in the world at all. It is the fact that God's love frees us to be our true self. Not the public self we create. T.S. Eliot called it in the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock, the face to meet the faces that we meet, that public face we create. It's not that. It's the self that only God can see. And God sees the good and the bad. God sees the mistakes and the triumphs and loves us anyway, beyond our imagining. If we have worth at all, that's where it comes from. And since God is faithful, we do have worth more than many, many sparrows. One way we remind ourselves of that is through retelling our story through creeds and affirmations. Let me invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. And join me as we tell this story of God's love and presence. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. And if you are a first-time guest, a very special welcome is extended to you. Everyone is invited to join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are visiting with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table, where you will find information about the many ministries of this church and ways that you can get involved. I invite you to take note of the gray card that you find in the pew racks. One side of the card may be used to record any comments you may have for church staff or lay leadership. On the other side of the card, you may indicate any prayer requests that you have. The card may be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. We invite you to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad down the pew if you have not already done so. When it reaches the other end of the pew, please pass it back down the pew and take note of anyone that you may not know who is worshiping with you today, and greet them at the end of our worship service. Prepare us now, O God, to hear you speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Friends in Christ, God invites us to hold the needs of our sisters and brothers as dear to us as our own needs. Loving our neighbors as ourselves, we offer our thanksgivings and our petitions on behalf of the church and the world. O God, your grace sets us free. Give to your church the freedom to follow you. Guide us by your Spirit that we may truly be your people and follow with joy the way of Jesus Christ. You call us to love all that you have created. Teach us to live with wisdom and humility that our earth and its creatures may not suffer at our hands, but flourish with our nurture. Your care extends to every nation. Wherever there is hardship, violence, suffering, or despair, come with your saving power and bring your people hope once again. Your compassion knows no bounds. Wherever there is loneliness or despair, wherever there are cries for healing or forgiveness, show your merciful face. You are a shelter and a refuge. Bless those who travel in these summer months. Protect those who seek work and guard all who have nowhere to lay their heads. You are the joy of all your saints. Like them, keep us faithful unto death that we might ever follow the way of your Son, Jesus, and come to share in the joy that has no end. Hear our prayers, God of power, and through the ministry of your Son, may we proclaim your saving deeds to the entire world. And now let us pray the prayer Jesus taught all of his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Having received new life through the generosity of God and the hope Christ brings, let us give thankfully and abundantly God's tithes and our offerings, that we may be called God's generous people.
I have a celebration to share with you before we go. West End member Jane Bracey will celebrate her 100th birthday on July 24th. Now, Jane moved to California to be near her family a couple of years ago, but if you would like to send a note or something, contact Cindy Moore at the church office. But we celebrate with Jane, even though she can't be here in person, because many of you know her and love her, and I wanted to share that bit of good news with you. Now go forth to find your worth in the love of God and to share that love with others. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Go in peace.
Amen.